Welcome to the Outwork in America
Radio.
HR Happy New Year 2023. I'm Steve Vos. I'm joined by Trish McFarland. Trish, how are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. How about this? Doing a live show for the first time in many years.
I'm
excited.
It's, you know what? It's very exciting. I think we should do these at least once a quarter.
What? Okay.
I know,
I'll
right?
I'll check the notes on that.
I think it would be fun. But today is a special day. We've done the show around the Tournament of Roses Parade, which is, you know, is my lifelong favorite thing in the world. Still haven't gotten there. You and I have talked about it. One year we are going to broadcast live from the parade. But today we're going to broadcast live while watching the parade.
It's
a step ahead.
You know, I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be here. It's a weird kind of a New Year's Day. I was a little disappointed, I must tell you, that the parade was not on January 1st, which was yesterday as we record this.
You know, I was thinking about that too, and it's not just the parade, it's the college games, which you expect to be on the 1st. And I think the NFL should have stepped aside on that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Right? I think the traditions of New Year's Day and college football, they sort of predate, right? NFL football, which has kind of taken over the world here, or taken over our country anyway,
at least
in the wintertime. But I guess that's a story for another day. Trish, we should thank our friends at Paychex, of course. This episode of At Work America is sponsored by our friends at Paychex, one of the leading providers of HR, payroll, retirement, and insurance solutions for businesses of all sizes. The real key here is Paychex has so many year-end, year-begin tips, resources, advice, just everything you need to get your business sort of finish out the paperwork and the bookkeeping and the accounting you need to do for 2022, get all the taxes taken care of, et cetera, and start 2023 on a good note. Please visit paychex.com/AWIA for more information, resources, et cetera, and thanks to our friends at Paychex because they're awesome.
That's right. We're so glad to have their support. And, you know, even though you can't see us, we have our Paychex cups here. You've got your Paychex hat on. It's really good. We want to support our supporters.
Yes, we do. Trish, so tell me about the parade a little bit. For folks who are new to the show, we've been doing this show a long time, Trish. I imagine there are folks listening to the show who will listen to it back on replay who are not aware of your affinity, I guess I'll say, to the Rose Parade. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
I don't even know how it started, but I was really, really tiny child. And I just always watched it with my mom. And eventually when my sister was born, we'd watch it with her too. And it's been one of those things. I obviously the parade floats are beautiful, right? But then as I got older, started researching how they're made, I always had this dream, though, of being like the queen of the Rose Parade, which – as I learned, you have to
live in. Is that a thing?
It is, and you have to live in Pasadena area, I believe, to get that. But so I couldn't do that. But anyway, I still do have the dream to go to the parade live and in person. I will do that one day. And then also, I would love to volunteer to work on a float at some point. So
okay.
I may need to take a sabbatical from work some year in like November, December at some point, and go out to Pasadena and work on the floats, which I think is fascinating. Actually, right now, I'm going to interrupt. For anyone who is listening, you can, A, call in. We've tweeted out the phone number to do that if you want to talk to us live about the new year or about the parade as you watch. But we are also going to give some commentary on the floats that are going by, and it's starting right now. We have the very first float, American Honda, which is the opening show float featuring Fitz and the Tantrums. Are you familiar with Fitz and the Tantrums?
I've heard of them. I'm not sure which one is Fitz, and I don't know the difference between Fitz and the tantrums.
They've been around for a long time, and it's actually a really colorful float. You want to talk about the theme here and maybe what this float looks like?
Yeah, so I sat down to record this show, Trish, and you very graciously handed me the most extensive set of show notes in the history of this podcast of 13 plus years, listing all the floats and all the details about the parade. If I've got this right, though, the theme, the overall theme of the parade is called Turning the Corner. Okay.
That's right.
And the parade this year features 21 marching bands. It's about 80 floats, it looks like.
It's about 80 total floats. So.
And entries from around the world, including Italy, Japan, Mexico, Panama, et cetera, et cetera. I like how the parade lists the global nature of the parade by listing countries like Italy, Japan, Mexico. Then it lists states out like Utah and West Virginia. right. Like they're different countries.
Can I just add?
I spent some time in West Virginia. That's kind of a different place.
We're going to be doing this show for an hour today, and the parade will go on long after that. But I don't know if they'll even get to it. But you now reside in Illinois. I live in Illinois. And there is actually a parade float coming up later called Enjoy Illinois. So, anyway.
That's pretty exciting, Trish. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, so the parade, a lot of people don't like parades, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like parades, Steve? No, I'm – okay, like where you grew up, were there parades in New Jersey? Is that something you all went to or no?
Yeah, no.
No?
No, not really.
I mean,
well,
in the Midwest, we do.
I guess I'd say this. I grew up fairly near to New York City. So if you wanted to go catch a proper parade, that's what you would do. Yeah, you'd get on the train, you'd go over to Manhattan, where there were many, many parades. And maybe there was a little bit of parade overkill, you know, perhaps, in Manhattan, because you've got the Thanksgiving Day parade, which is the big one there. I think they do a Christmas parade, perhaps, but there was St. Patrick's Day was a very big event in New York City and a parade associated with it. There was a Columbus Day parade, I believe, for a very long time.
Right.
There's probably a few others I'm not thinking of, but yeah, parades in New York City were certainly a big deal.
Yeah. Here in the Midwest, it's every small town has a parade at least once a year, if not more. So, but parades here are different, right? It's obviously small town floats put on by your local chamber of commerce and maybe, you know, a sports team or two and maybe a local business or exercise facility, something like that. But they always threw out candy. So I mean, that's really where the Rose Parade could amp it up a little bit by throwing out candy. But I don't think they want the crowds to, like, you know, encroach on the parade route, I would imagine.
Yeah, probably not. And I think we've talked about this parade a lot over the years. And in the last few years, I'm not sure exactly what happened last year, Trish, but I know there were a couple of years where COVID impacted the parade, right? So maybe they didn't have it 1 year and then they didn't allow any spectators perhaps the next year.
That's true. So actually 2021 was canceled. Last year was a combination of the 2021-2022 parade. And it was called Dream, Believe, and Achieve. So I think it's interesting. I mean, that tells you, like, people were still sort of aspirational after 2 years of pandemic. And now people are truly saying we're turning the corner. I mean, just from, you know, you and I talk a lot about work and workplaces. I don't know about you listening to in all the jobs information, the economy. Would you say that we're now truly, from a work perspective, turning the corner on this pandemic? Or what do you, what's your general take for 2023?
I'd say so. It's been pretty – one of the sets of data points I follow pretty regularly, and I believe they put out presentations and reports monthly, which is comes out of Stanford. It's the WFH research kind of group out of Stanford. And it's Stanford Work from Home. And what their data has been showing over the last, I would say, several months is that work from home and transit patterns and office occupancy patterns, things, some of the data points you would look at, try to understand how workplaces have adapted, say, to post-pandemic life, most of them are stabilizing.
Right.
So obviously, Ray, at the beginning of the pandemic, work from home shot up, office utilization shot way down, things like that. Mass transit in big cities, right, where workers rely on public transportation quite commonly, right, to get to and from work, that plummeted right at the beginning of the pandemic. Anyway, most of those figures that you would look at to try to determine the prevalence or the persistence of post-pandemic adjustments, right, are all stabilized. So, like, things like working from home is stabilized at about, let's call it 35%, right, of time spent. Mass transit utilization has come back, hasn't come all the way back, but it's stabilized at, say, let's call it 80% of what it was prior to the pandemic, those kinds of things. So, yeah, I do think by now, right, as we enter 2023, most organizations have definitely have at least determined for now, right, what post-pandemic work in their organizations are meant to be like and are now going to try to move forward. And what's still kind of an uncertain time, though, right? Like, we're not completely over COVID, certainly as a global society, certainly here in America. And so organizations still have to navigate some of that. Okay, what do we got here, Trish? Going back to the parade coverage.
Yeah, right? Back a little bit to the parade. So here we have the United States Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard.
I love that.
They are actually have been part of this parade, I believe, since the inception. And if you don't know, I mean, there are quite a few Marine bases still in the California, state of California in that area, and the big one being Camp Pendleton. So a big Marine Corps training facility there, but their band and their Mounted Color Guard actually travel the world representing, you know, the United States Marine Corps. Shout out to my ex-husband, Dan McFarlane, and to some of our friends. We have Tammy Colson, who's a former Marine, right? Lots of family members of mine are Marines. And so I said former Marine, that's not even correct. Once a Marine, always
a
Marine.
Is that how it works?
Sort of okay. How it works. But yeah, you know, they would argue the toughest branch of the armed forces to get into. They have a 12-week program and a crucible, but at any rate, this color guard and the Marine Corps band that travels is a very elite band and color guard to be part of. So really nice to see them right at the beginning of the parade kind of helping kick it off.
They look sharp. The Marines have the best uniforms.
Don't they?
Yeah, they look good.
They do. They do. The other interesting thing about the Marines compared to some of the other branches, I'm told, is that everyone there is actually trained to be a sharpshooter. Even if you are in the band, even if you are color guards, whatever job you do in the Marine Corps, everyone is a trained shooter.
Yeah, and curiously enough, everyone who's worked on this podcast over the years also
as well
trained as a sharpshooter.
A sharpshooter.
That's
shooter,
a
that's
little known fact about this about our staff here.
That's true. Hey, before we get back to kind of the work commentary, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about this float. This is the Extraordinaire Trophy winner, in fact.
Okay. Yeah, this is Cal Poly University. They have participated in this parade since 1949, and their theme is the Road to Reclamation, encouraging a deeper look at nature and how the end of one phase of life can bring the opportunity for the next. I dig that. I'm a big nature show guy.
Are you?
Yeah, David Attenborough fan myself.
Oh my gosh, I've watched, what is that, on Netflix, I think. His latest sort of installment is on Netflix. It's wonderful.
Yeah, he's all over. So I dig this. It looks pretty cool. And shout out to Cal Poly.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated. Like this one has, looks like a ton of snails of all different sizes, mushrooms and whatnot. Really, if you're not familiar with the parade, one of the other really cool features about it is that every single thing on these floats has to be not just a flower, but a grain or something natural. So what you're seeing is, you know, other than the electronics underneath, is all natural materials, which I'm always fascinated by.
Yeah, this is, wow, there's so much going on here in this parade. Brookwood Bronco Marching Band, I dig that. Wow, so this is pretty cool. I think these parades are pretty cool because they do give like smaller, either high schools or small, this is a high school, right?
It is, yes.
Giving these smaller places an opportunity to shine on a national stage. This is like Brookwood is a high school in Georgia, and now they're like have their moment in the literal and figurative sun here at the Rose Parade.
That's
pretty nice.
It is nice. And you know what? When I lived in O'Fallon, Illinois, that was something our band really, you know, strove to be part of. They were a part of this, I believe, 2 years. It was right before the pandemic, 2 years in a row. And it's a big deal. These bands have to raise funds for many years to be able to afford to send. I mean, this is a large band. I don't have the count on it, and looks like we're going to commercial there. But anyway, any of the high school bands you see, a lot of work goes into that, both by the students and the parents, to try and raise money to get them out to Pasadena for the event.
Yeah, Trish, while we're sort of taking a little parade coverage break, I read this morning or perhaps yesterday, Trish, of words that should be banned. This is a piece I read in NPR. Words and phrases that maybe we should put away, put aside, leave back in 2022. I have the top 10 here, the full list of quote-unquote banished words for 2022. So, yeah, if you want to take a guess at some of these.
Please, quiet quitting.
Quiet quitting was number 3.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It is such a fake
You're
thing.
Tired of quiet quitting?
I'm tired of quiet quitting.
Okay.
How about loud staying? Can we get that one going? How about I'm here, I'm working, and I'm tired of bitching, right? I'm just here to work. I'm here to do a good job. Loud staying.
Yeah, maybe not as catchy, and I'm not sure if the TikTokers are going to embrace that one as much as...
Come on, Gen X, let's bring that one into being.
Quiet quitting. I read a really long Gen Z piece this morning as well, and actually a millennial piece too. I was kind of focusing on kind of the generational kind of workplace themes.
Right.
I still think it's a theme. Like I've always thought it was probably a valid thing to talk about generations in the workplace and try to understand in broad strokes,
right,
how different generations are approaching things like work and their lives. I think it's kind of a valid thing to look at.
I didn't for the longest time. I have to tell you, when I was actually working in HR day to day, it would be annoying because I'm thinking we need to focus on what's best for everyone, right? And how we can all, I felt like it was a way to divide everyone further. And now with more just growth and perspective, it is a valid point. You do need to focus on what some of those differences are,
mm-hmm,
but then maybe the next step is to just really then figure out how do you bring people together. And it really would give right now, for example, the millennials, Gen Z, give them more of a voice in 2023 in your organization, right? Figure out how they can start helping shape and mold the direction of your company. I think these things are very valid.
Yeah, and millennials are the largest cohort in the workforce for most organizations now. Gen Z is entering the workforce really, you know, in a significant way starting the last year or two and going forward. And yeah, the one piece I read was kind of a first-person essay from a millennial who had just turned 40, right? So
Wow. We
can't really kind of think about millennials necessarily.
They're not
as
new.
Just young kids anymore,
no,
right? So this is a 40-year-old. And I'll just throw this out there, and then I'll maybe talk about a couple more of the banished words. One of the really interesting things in this essay I read from this 40-year-old millennial was that this generation was maybe the first big one that had forestalled things like household formation, marriage, and having their first children or first couple of children, right? They waited till later, right? And till they were older. And that's a difference, right? There's a big difference from being like a 42-year-old with two kids under the age of four, right? Than say maybe a 30-year-old with two kids under the age of four that prior generations was very common, right? Certainly in this
country. Absolutely.
I'll give you a couple more words, Trish, banned for this year. And then we can talk some more parade. Inflection point, Trish? Inflection point? Let's ban that one.
Yes, I agree. And we're done. That was like 10 years ago, a big thing. How is that one still hanging on, inflection point?
Gaslighting? Although that one organization made that the word of the year.
It is the word of the year. I'll tell you what, though.
This organization wants to ban gaslighting in 2023?
I use it too much in regular conversation, so I think that's how you know it's time for it to go.
Yeah,
right?
And then a couple more. Moving forward, these are kind of corporate buzzwordy things. Moving forward, does that make sense? Asking over and over again after you say something, after you make a statement, then asking someone if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I'll give you this last one. It is what it is, which I never liked either.
I hate it, and I actually say that.
Yeah, I've probably said some of these too. But
How do we retrain ourselves to like not say them? Did they give us any alternatives? Because I'm not trying to, maybe that's what we'll do on the next show, the next vlog. We're going to try to come up with some alternatives. But for me, like I said, for quiet quitting, it's loud saying. So we need to come up with some other phrases that we could say instead of these things, right?
Yeah. Are you a person that does like, I have a theme for the year or a personal word of the year or phrase? And you do that little exercise?
Well, I do. It traditionally, and for the last at least 15 years, has always been whatever the parade theme is.
Oh,
the Rose Parade,
that makes
parade
sense.
Theme, they're amazing. I mean, once in a while, you'll get one like hats off to entertainment or something that does hats off to entertainment for the year, right? But no, it's always, you know, to do with either dreams or building or making a difference, success. There's always some sort of note there. So, and I do like this year's turning the corner. I feel like that is both in personal and professional life something to really try and celebrate.
Yeah, I can see in your notes there, you've got some of the prior year themes. Is there any one or two from the last few years that really stand out?
You know, one of them, this was 2003, actually. It was children's dreams, wishes, and imagination. But what I took away from that one, I remember, and again, this was, I think back to, you know, 2003, my gosh, I was becoming a parent.
Okay.
So that one was really important to me about just trying to think about, am I living my own dreams? Am I following being a more imaginative person? And that's really when my kids were born was when I started getting involved, you know, a few years later in social media and really trying to push that. So that was a big one for me, I think. I don't know if there's any for you. You can kind of see the last, at least.
Well, you know what's really interesting about this list? You've got the full list on here. It goes back, I don't know, 80, 90 years or something like that, maybe even more. Like how we've kind of changed as a society somewhat, right? And you can look at it as a reflection in some of these titles, things like you go back to the 40s and the 30s, you see things like Romance and Flowers, Our Golden West, you know.
Right.
We're in it to win. That was during World War II. Patriotism, that's during World War I, 1918, right? And then it's changed a little bit and become a little bit more aspirational, perhaps, and a little bit more inspirational, too, right, in closer years. Finding Your Adventure, that's a good one.
I like that one a lot. Yeah. Find Your Adventure. That was important, too. That reminded me of, like, Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh, I see the one I like the best. Here it is, 1998. Having Fun. And I like this one because it's AJV apostrophe N.
Having fun.
And then it's fun with an exclamation.
Maybe that should be your theme for this year.
I think I'm adopting.
Having fun.
I'm adopting having fun.
Yeah.
Not okay. Having fun. Having fun.
Hey, listen, I know we want to shout out this one. We've got the Catalina Foothills Falcon Band from Tucson, Arizona. I wonder if they drove. Is that far, Tucson, Arizona, to Pasadena? They might.
I don't know.
Do all the bands drive? I'm not even sure. Do we fly? How do we get there?
I'm guessing the equipment probably comes in a bus or a truck of some kind, right? It's a lot of tubas and trombones to move from one place to another.
Okay, I like this next float up. It is the Judge's Trophy Award winner for most outstanding float design and dramatic impact. It is by Western Asset called Welcome to the Jungle. They are actually, it says headquartered on Colorado Boulevard there in California. It is their 15th parade participation, and this is a 55-foot-long float, which reminds you how lives are all connected in a beautiful and complex ecosystem with growth and change, but really beautiful. You know what? Oh, my gosh. What are those called? Anthurium. Those are anthurium flowers all over the face of that float.
I'll accept that. I'm not familiar.
And they're from Hawaii. Have you seen those before? They almost feel plastic when you touch them in real life.
I gotta get out more. Probably. I'm not familiar.
Did you know I worked at a florist when I was about 18 and 19 years old?
I believe I've heard that story once or twice. Yeah.
Which is interesting. That's why I for many years have disliked when people give roses, because I felt like if somebody goes and gives you roses, unless they're a different color than red, then maybe there's some thought there. But men always ran in at the last minute on Valentine's Day and just got a box of red roses, which I thought was really cheesy. So anyway,
I'm a fan of the yellow rose, Trish. That's the one I go for.
Oh, that's a nice one. That means friendship.
Means a lot, Trish. Means a lot.
It means a lot. I love it. I love it. Hey, now we have some of the horses. There are a lot of horses and horse riding associations in the parade. It really shows the culture of the country coming together here in Pasadena every year. This particular group is the Spirit of the West Riders. And I don't know, how many would you say there? Maybe 10 or so horseback riders? Maybe 10 or 15?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. So good to see them there. They're all dressed in traditional clothing. Interesting.
I will say this. It looks like I didn't check the weather forecast for this parade. It looks like an absolutely beautiful day in Southern California, which maybe is kind of every day there. But
some people in coats, though. I don't know. Oh, that's a pretty band. Look at their outfits. Rosemont High School Marching Band from Rosemont, Minnesota. I think they were anticipating the cold. I have to tell you, though, the one fun thing for me always is watching sort of the aerial view from where they go in front of the judges, which is what they're doing right now.
Oh, I see.
And that turn, you know, a band can make that turn pretty well, right? They practice those formations. But
who doesn't?
To see some of those really, really long floats try and make that turn, there have been a few times where it's like it almost gets stuck. So big. So you have to have some really careful planning and a really excellent driver.
You do. It's certainly something that it takes a skilled operator to manage the nuances of the parade route, right? I wonder how long the parade route is. Are you familiar at all with that? Like we're watching the Rosemont High School marching band here from Rosemont, Minnesota. Are we talking miles and miles to march?
No, I think it's just like a mile. I will look that up while we're talking.
I feel like that's a long walk with carrying your instrument, banging on the drum, wearing that big hat.
Oh, you know what? I'm way off. It is 5.5 miles.
Wow. That's quite the walk.
Right? I don't know. They, you know, they just, honestly, they train for this for so
I
long.
Hope there's like, I hope there's like a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts like halfway along the way.
It's not like a marathon.
I think I need that in the morning.
Well, and you know what? There's the one judging area, and then there are certain areas. So what I do know about the parade route is that anyone can go and watch the parade for free. You can set up your lawn chair or whatever you want to do, right, and watch that. But people line up for days for this thing, right? They have tents. But there are tickets in the stands. There are stands, like bleachers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where you can purchase. Like, but those go on sale actually right now, like this coming week.
Should
those
we buy our tickets for next year? Should we just
yeah,
buy?
It's you have to plan. Really?
I actually like it better for us to talk every year like we're going to go and actually not ever go. That's more fun for me than actually going.
You know, someone was asking about this, and I said, that's going to be on my tombstone someday. Like, always wanted to go to the Rose Parade, but never made it. Like, that's really what it's going to be. I got close one year. I don't know. It's been about 30 years ago. I was in Southern California, and I moved out there on New Year's Day, and I wanted to go so badly and didn't get to go.
That seems like a myth. Trish, while we're on a break from the parade, I'll give you another kind of workplace item for 2023, Trish. This is not really questions, more of a statement.
Okay.
I don't expect you to know the answer, so I won't ask. But Trish, and of course, our friends at Paychex are on top of this as well. The minimum wage, Trish, about to rise in 2023.
Is it?
In 23 separate states.
Okay.
And 41 cities in 2023. So minimum wage is going up in lots and lots of places in lots of cities. Most of the cities are actually in California. But 23 states raising the minimum wage for 1/1/2023.
You know, part of me loves that because obviously we need people to be making more at that level. But the other part of me is like, wow, that basically just gives every other person in your organization a pay cut, right? So you have to sort of look at
depending on how much – Right.
Well, just the visuals and the mechanics of that, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll have other people who feel, you know, who maybe someone, what was that number again?
23 states and 41 cities.
And what's the minimum wage amount?
Oh, I don't have it listed for every single, it's different in every place.
For example, say you're making $20 an hour and now, you know, minimum wage just goes up and your pay doesn't go up. So it's just, it gives a little bit of a bad taste. So if you're in human resources, if you're in the C-suite, you do need to sort of manage how you have those discussions, right? As the pay rate rises, if you're not also kind of reevaluating and looking for pay inequities, we've talked a lot about that this year on the show, and just making sure that there is equality.
And I probably have not seen this talked about as much perhaps as other things that are a little bit more sexier and more kind of interesting perhaps on the surface. But I would say in 2023, the entire area of compensation and total rewards is much more important and much more elevated in importance in organizations than it has been in quite some time for reasons that you suggested, Trish, about wage compression, also the effects of inflation, right,
on
people's spending power. And so you may have been giving 5%, 6%, even 7% raises, which is pretty healthy raises, largely haven't kept up with inflation in the last year and a half, right, here in the United States. So,
and that'll still be a problem in 2023.
And then certainly pay transparency, pay equity, all those issues as well. Big, big issues for compensation and HR folks in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to the parade for a second. We have Trader Joe's here with the Wrigley Legacy Trophy for most outstanding display. It's interesting. I'm not feeling like I love it. It's got pizzas for wheels. I guess it's all food. It's a food thing. It's Trader Joe's.
Well, let's talk about then, do you like Trader Joe's itself? Are you a shopper there?
I am a shopper there.
Okay.
I really enjoy Trader Joe's, but I don't know. The float looks a little, I don't know that it's really following the theme of turning the corner. I'll be honest with you. I think they could have probably done a better job. It's got like a big green man who looks like maybe a chef of some sort. I'm not sure I disagree with me. I don't know. It feels like it's not following the theme at all, in fact.
It's hard to say. There's a lot going on there, but I like Trader Joe's. It's fun. It's fun.
If the theme was food and food you like, then they nailed it.
Or
absolutely nailed
maybe they were still back on the 1998 having fun theme. And
they're trying to do there. They are having fun because, you know, they've got a pelican eating pizza. That's having fun. Hey, Trader Joe's, good job on the 1998 theme.
I dig it.
You dig it. I do not. But anyway. All right. So what else do we have on the agenda here today?
I think this is why when I say not everybody likes parades, I think this is part of that parade kind of overload I'm feeling now. Like, I feel like this is a fun parade, but it's a little different, say, from the other one, I think, which most people would watch, which is the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
And that one's cool because, like, they'll trot out, like, a musical act or a Broadway, a cast of a Broadway show to do a song and kind of a thing, right? They kind
of
mix it up a little bit.
Today. We're going to have a few, you know, we chatted at the beginning there with what's his name in the tantrums. What was his name? I didn't remember. Fitz.
Yeah.
Who is Fitz in the tantrums? We're going to have to look that up. I'm not sure I know. Somebody tweet at me. What do I know their songs? I'm not even sure, but. Hey, here's the, oh gosh, I don't even want to mess this up. Banda de Musica La Primavera from Santiago, Veraguas, Panama.
Nice.
Bringing both the culture of the dancers and the band. See, now this is where we do have it turned down. I wish I could, I might turn it up for just a second so we can kind of hear this one. It looks really beautiful though.
That is pretty cool.
Oh yeah. That's a whole different type of marching band. I wouldn't even have thought of that as a marching band, but I guess it is. It's dancers and a marching band.
Yeah, I don't really see the band. Where's the
They're
band?
Right behind them.
Oh,
They're
okay.
Right
okay.
But yeah, it came all the way from Panama. That's beautiful.
Well, you know,
traditional clothing.
They built that little canal right through there to make that trip a little shorter.
Is that right?
Yeah, you don't have to go all the way around now. You cut right across.
You know what? I was thinking this morning, I feel like it's not freezing cold here in Illinois today, but it's coming, it's cold is coming back to us. I really want to go somewhere warmer. I feel like Panama might be the, you know, it's summer there right now. So entering the summer season.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the Southern Hemisphere.
Is that the Southern Hemisphere?
Yeah. Well, it's right at the equator, right?
I'm very, very geographically challenged.
Oh, yeah,
right at the
equator.
I don't understand directions.
I get
lost.
No, I need to go south.
I get lost all the time.
No, but you know where I'm going, Colorado. That doesn't seem like warm and sunny at all.
No, it doesn't.
At all. But at any rate, that's where I'm going to head.
I'm excited, Trish, for after this band goes through. Is this still the Panamanian band? Okay.
It is. It is.
All right, we're on a break, but there's one thing coming up that I'm really excited about that I do want to talk about for a second. While we're on a break, Trish, you've seen the news, of course, over the last, I don't know, week or so here in the U.S., and probably mostly a U.S. story of awful flight delays.
Right.
Right, everywhere, mostly affecting Southwest Airlines and people getting stuck for days and days.
Yeah, I think there are still people in luggage stranded.
It took them about a week to unwind all those mm-hmm. problems, and they're kind of getting people back where they're going. I saw an awful story this morning about a poor bride who missed her wedding, missed her entire wedding. Although,
really,
did she miss the wedding or did the wedding not happen? Because when you say you missed something.
No, the wedding didn't.
It implies that they had it
Unless
anyway without
the,
you, which
yeah.
seems weird if it was your
Maybe
own wedding.
Maybe they had the reception without her.
Yeah, so she didn't make the wedding and
there
was
goodness.
A story about her. But Trish, so if you had a guess in the United States, Trish, what was the United States most on-time airline in 2022? Most on-time airline in their flights? According
I hate
to data,
say it. It's going to be Delta, your favorite, probably.
We're on time 84% of the time.
Oh, goodness. Is it Delta?
You're correct. It
Dang
was
it.
Delta.
You know, in St. Louis, you can barely take Delta. You for sure have to fly somewhere else if you're taking Delta. I will say that. I don't think there are any direct flights. So
Delta was number one. Southwest was a little bit down the list, about 75%. The 84% seems pretty good. I feel like Delta's been pretty solid. I have the full list here. Yeah, Delta was number one at 84%. And then down the list, Air Canada, Trish, was the worst. I don't know how many flights Air Canada actually flies to
right.
and from the U.S. They were the worst, though. Only 55% of their flights were on time
in
2021.
That's awful. You know, a lot of that has to do, though, with the labor shortage. And then also a little bit like the Southwest thing with systems and trying to get people into positions and things like that, right? I experienced some myself this year. We travel a lot for business and pleasure as well. And, you know, there were several flights where you'd have like all of the crew except one person who hadn't, you know, they were coming in from some other flight or something that was delayed. So, yeah, there was a little bit of that going on. The one thing I will say, though, is that if you are traveling on any airline, number one, don't put every single thing in your checked bag, right? Have a change of clothes, some clean undergarments in a in a carry-on, have your toothpaste, toothbrush, right, with you. And also, make sure that you can afford to spend at least one or two nights in some hotel somewhere. Because sometimes things happen, right?
Sometimes things do happen.
They have, right? I think in the last year.
And when things happen, I want to make sure I have a fully adequate supply of undergarments with me.
Right? Don't you? I mean, like, how? So it amazes me when people are like.
I've got some extra ones in my pocket right now, oddly enough, when I drove over here.
But you shouldn't have to be stranded in an airport, really. Like that, I'm always amazed at how many people are just like caught off guard, like, oh my gosh, we thought this thing that flies through the air, you know, is immediately be 100% of the time on time and get us where we need to go. And that's just not the case. So be realistic. Make sure you've got a little backup plan going in and be ready in case your flight cancels, and then immediately get on your apps and get yourself a hotel room and go relax and enjoy the city you're in.
I do think it is somewhat miraculous that any of those flights actually take off and
right?
land safely. It is kind of a testament to engineering and quantum mechanics, physics, so all the sciences involved that I don't understand. Are these our, are these our Budweiser Clydesdales, or are these kind of other Clydesdales here, Trish, on the parade?
Well, it says Express Clydesdales. They definitely do not look like, it's the President's Family of the Tournament of Roses Parade. The president of that is Amy Wainscott. So, no, these are not the world-famous
Anheuser-Busch Clydesdales. No, those are the only Clydesdales that matter to me.
Clydesdales, but, yeah. But these are actually very beautiful animals. They're a little bit different colored than our Clydesdales here in the St. Louis area.
Okay, well.
Very good. We now have the Wisconsin Northwoods Marching Band from, Minocqua, Wisconsin? I love that. Was that like an Indian? It's an Indian name, right? I don't want to butcher that, but M-I-N-O.
You know, I've only been to Wisconsin once or twice. I'm not familiar with this area. Minocqua.
How would you say that? Anyway, this is a huge band, right? Look at how many they have there. Maybe this is their first appearance. They're like, you know what, guys? We're going. We may never come back. We're going to take everybody we know.
Everyone's coming.
Hey, you're in the junior high band? Come on. Come on,
get in here with us,
right? Yeah, see, some people have different uniforms. I think they really went to several schools in that area and said, like, you know what, guys? We're just all going to go.
Yeah, they just, like, allowed, wow.
Yeah, see, there's everybody
there's
in there.
There's a whole thing going on there. Maybe
if you're in band in Wisconsin, come along with us. We're going to the Rose Parade.
Maybe it's like an all-star band kind of situation
from
multiple locations.
Be.
But good for them.
Yeah. You know what? They've got the flag girls at the back. And I have to tell you, do you know my sister was on the flag? It was a drill team? Is that what that's called? Flags? Why would you put them in the back? Put them in the front. At Columbia, Illinois High School, they were in the front. I'll tell you what. I saw many parades with my sister, Karen. Everyone knows Karen, right? If you listen to the show, she's our producer. Yeah, Karen was in the front. She did a great job. She was probably the best flag twirler that I've ever seen. Personally,
I know that's what people are saying. Everyone's talking. Yes, I've heard
that.
Well,
they will be now because now I've like exposed her. That sounds bad. I haven't exposed her, but like,
yeah, it's really not a deep dark secret. I don't think
it is. I don't know. Anyway, we now have the City of Alhambra. Together We Rise. I believe that is supposed to be a hot air balloon.
It is a hot air balloon, too.
City of Alhambra.
In flower form.
Does not even look like a hot air balloon.
Have you ever traveled in a hot air balloon?
No. I wanted to. When I was younger, I wanted to do it. And now that I am of a mature age, there is no way you could pay me enough to get into a little basket.
Oh, really?
Nope.
So I have done that. I have.
Have you?
Yes. And I was lovely. I would do it again.
Really?
For sure. It's very kind of docile experience.
Does it feel unstable? I feel like it
would
feel unstable.
No, not really.
Really?
No, because like you're just traveling along with the air currents and the breeze is taking you. So it doesn't really feel like you're moving all that much because you're moving at that same speed.
Oh.
It's not like sticking your hand out of a car window.
Right.
And you feel like that the wind hitting
like
you or something like that.
Something.
It's not like that at all. It's
just
kind of a gentle, very gentle, pleasant experience.
Okay.
I would say.
I don't know. I feel like right now I just want to keep my feet kind of on the ground and not in a little basket in the air. But you know what I do? I will say this. If you're anywhere near St. Louis area, or if you're someone who has always said, I would love to go to St. Louis because we have so much to do, come in the fall. early September, we have the Forest Park Balloon Race, which is one of the coolest things ever.
Mm-hmm.
And they the night before, they have the Balloon Glow. Have you ever been to a Balloon Glow?
No, I don't think so.
So that's where they're inflating the balloons, and they do it at night.
Okay.
And so you can go for free and walk around. There'll be like food trucks and things like that, little games for your kids. But you can walk right up to the balloons. You can speak with the balloon operators. And then what they do is they fire them up and obviously don't take off, but the balloons are all lit up all the way across St. Louis Forest Park, which is actually bigger than Central Park in New York City. So,
wow.
Anyway, if you've ever wanted to come to St. Louis, that's really the reason to come is the St. Louis Balloon Race. All right, so now, who is this one? We have, I don't know who this is. Who is this?
Trish, this is the Claremont McKenna College float launching responsible leaders.
Okay, interesting. 1,300 student liberal arts college. Okay, this is supposed to be featuring students and architecture of the college against a backdrop that suggests the nearby Mount St. Antonio, better known as Mount Baldy.
Ah.
Okay. Well, very good. I wonder if those students that are riding it, oh, I see the mountain now. I wonder, now see, I do like this. But again, not sure it's following the theme, turning the corner, I guess.
Here's what I'm starting to think too. I've watched the parade
like
over the years. I've probably not watched it as closely as you.
Oh, there's our queen.
I feel like this parade is very wholesome and very, it's very proper.
Right.
Earnest is the word I'd probably describe it as. And I wonder if this parade could use a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of spice. Like,
spice?
Maybe there could be, like, a Hooters float or...
Oh, my goodness, no.
Or, like, something from one of the casinos.
No.
You know,
the
or...
Spice?
Or
let me
the,
tell you.
The FanDuel Sportsbook sports gambling app float.
No, but I will tell you what. There are spices used on these floats, Steve. Cinnamon, for example. Cumin. Rosemary, all of the spices are actually considered edible flowers that you can actually use on the float building in the construction. Hey, speaking of that, we have, this is probably my favorite float every single year.
Okay.
Because it is the float with the queen and her court. This is the 104th court, and it is the 2023 Rose Queen and the Princesses of the Royal Court. Let's see, 5,000 flowers, including white and pink mums, pink roses, white and pink carnations, and raised roses. The other natural materials on their float include white large lima beans, red kidney beans, black onion seed, red fine-cut straw flower, pampas grass, and fine ground rice and purple fine-cut status. So see, you can have spices. You wanted to, look, you asked for spice, and boom, they delivered.
Yeah.
You've got the onion seed right there.
It's not it's not exactly what I had in mind, but it was fine.
You know,
I didn't
specify. You just said spice.
No, but don't you – am I way off base on this? That there could be sort of a – maybe –
A more modern take to –
No, just something that's a little bit more – I don't know. Like would appeal to a different kind of audience perhaps.
I agree. You could certainly have that. And, you know, there are some – You know, some of the upcoming floats, we aren't going to be here. We've only got another, I think, 15 minutes or so, 16 minutes maybe. There are definitely some, you know, we won't be live when this happens, but we do have, like, Snapchat has a float.
What?
This year, they do. It's coming later on.
You can only look at it for, like, 30 seconds, though. And
the Budweiser Clydesdales are about halfway
what?
Through.
The real Budweiser Clydesdales?
The real Budweiser Clydesdales will be coming
up.
You also have...
Those are my favorite.
I know, right? Salvation Army will have something in there. Obviously, they're and we're going to miss Enjoy Illinois. So I just want to give Enjoy Illinois a shout out. I can't wait to see
Is that a band or is that a float?
No, it is the state's Office of Tourism.
Okay.
Right?
And it is. Yeah.
It's a, like our theme or our little quote or whatever is we're in the middle of everything, right?
We have a float
that's going to be featuring the Scripps Tower and the John Hancock Center, which are both in Chicago. A bronze lion from the Museum of Natural History and a Ferris wheel from Navy Pier. So, you know, we're in Southern Illinois right now, but we'll take that, right? Enjoy Illinois.
I think tourism marketing of different areas, states, or regions is a tough business. I was out on the highway not that long ago. I forget where it was, but it was around somewhere. And it said, you know, such and such town, I don't know, you know, St. Paul town or whatever it was. And their slogan was, you know, gateway to the expansive West or something like that. And I was thinking to myself, man, like, if that's your slogan, it might as well say, you know, there's really nothing to see here, but if you pass on by, eventually something really exciting is down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because St. Louis is the gateway to the West.
Exactly.
So there you go. But I'm telling you, St. Louis is great. Okay, I mentioned Snapchat. Like I said, we won't be live when it happens, but it's basically their first appearance. So if you're watching the parade, stick around for Snapchat. It will highlight 6 of the platform's augmented reality lenses, which along with other useful features encourage self-expression, learning, play, creativity, spontaneity.
I like that.
I don't know. I kind of like that. Oh, NASCAR has one coming up. So, Steve, I think they're
these companies are
getting into it, right? Their theme is always forward.
NASCAR is like the second to last float. That's the problem here.
Right. So, you know.
Are you a NASCAR person, Trish?
You know, I was for a long time. I haven't been in recent years, but yeah. I mean, who doesn't like a good NASCAR race? Really?
So I was never really into it all that much.
Until you lived in Charlotte.
There was 2 things that happened. I was living in the Charlotte area, and the pandemic happened. Did you hear about this pandemic thing that happened?
I did not.
Yeah,
many
sports and many other things in life, but certainly many live sports were paused or canceled in the early phases of the pandemic. We're talking about spring of 2020. And NASCAR, live NASCAR racing, was one of the very first competitive major sporting competitions to resume during the pandemic era. And so as a sports person, as I am, I was desperate for sporting entertainment, any kind of entertainment, right? In those first few months of the pandemic, I just became, boom, I got right back into NASCAR, like full bore. And ever since I've been, I've stuck with it. I'm a big NASCAR guy. I have a favorite driver. And I support him, but I love watching the race.
Who's your favorite driver?
My favorite driver is Ryan Blaney, number 12.
I've never heard of him, so that tells you I've been following him.
Drives the Penske Ford, number 12, and he's my favorite driver. He's an excellent driver. He's very competitive. He hasn't quite hasn't won the championship or anything, but he's right up there usually. You know,
is he a young racer?
I would probably say young.
Really young?
At this point, Trish, they're all young, right, to me. So, yeah.
Well, okay. Well, not really.
Probably late 20s, if I had to guess.
You know, is Jimmy Johnson still racing?
Jimmy Johnson is around. Yeah, okay. He retired from NASCAR.
Oh, did he? Okay. So
but he went to Indy car racing. But I believe he's coming back to do some NASCAR racing this
year. I was always a Tony Stewart fan.
Yeah.
I loved his bad boy approach.
So shout out to NASCAR. I'll have to stick around, Trish. We're going to be signing off here in a few minutes, but
we are. But
I'll have to hang around and catch the end of the parade and see the NASCAR float.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think to your point, though, I think they're trying to incorporate some companies. We're going to not be live for the grand finale, too. I just want to shout this one out. It's the Mansion Entertainment Group, which I thought, who is that? If you ever come to the state of Missouri, I'm here for Missouri tourism, actually. Have you heard of Branson, Missouri?
I have heard of it.
Have you been to Branson, Missouri?
Okay. I have.
If you go to Branson, Missouri, they kind of consider it sort of like a little cross between a miniature Nashville and Vegas. It's kind of somewhere in between. Branson, Missouri, it's about 4.5 hours south of St. Louis, Missouri. And it's really where all of the old country stars kind of go to retire and have a residency.
As well as Yakov Smirnoff.
That's right. Yakov Smirnoff is there, right? I've never seen him, but I should. But anyway, they are going to feature Tanya Tucker. Do you know her? Are you a country music fan of the 70s and 80s?
I don't. My country music fandom or knowledge does not go that deep.
I liked her a lot in the 70s when I was a little girl. She sang Delta Dawn. Do you remember that song?
I do not.
Probably not. All right, everyone go look up Delta Dawn before Tanya Tucker comes on. But anyway, 30th anniversary of the Mansion Theater in Branson, Missouri. It's actually a really beautiful theater. It truly does look like a mansion. But anyway, this is going to be sort of a replica of that. It's a grand finale today of the parade. So I think that'll be fun.
I think it will be. And I think also, Trish, I'm looking here at the rundown of what's coming up. Yeah, so obviously another big part of the whole Rose Bowl experience or the Rose Parade, Rose Bowl / experience, right, is the actual Rose Bowl football contest.
That's right.
Right, which has been around for over 100 years would be my guess. And so there will be some nods to what's happening with the football game.
Right.
The Penn State marching band from – Pennsylvania, who's playing, Penn State's playing in the Rose Bowl game today.
Right.
Right.
And we literally, as we were talking, the University of Utah just walked by. So they had their cheerleaders. They had, you know, they're marching, what is it, Utes? What is a Ute?
I believe,
you know,
it's from one of the Native American tribes in
I know,
region, Trish.
But doesn't it remind you of what was the movie with where they talked about the two Utes? Remember?
Yes, you're talking about my cousin Vinny, right?
My cousin Vinny, yes.
Yeah. Like, the Utes.
That's different, right? Those two Utes are different.
They're not the same youth.
They're not the same youth.
No.
But anyway, that's what it made me think of. My cousin Vinny, haven't seen that in a long time. Can we do that? Let's do that one time for a workplace movie Hall of Fame.
Okay. I have not seen that movie in quite some time.
I haven't seen it in probably 30 plus years whenever that came out. But yeah, that's what. Anyway, who do you want to win the Rose Bowl?
You know, I hadn't been monitoring the Rose Bowl actual contest itself until in the last 3 minutes, Trish. I probably will pull for Penn State. We have a friend who's we've worked with along with the HR Tech Conference for years and years now. Shout out my man, Fred Kirst, who is a big, big Penn State fan.
Is he?
Yes, he attends, I think, just about every Penn State game.
I'm no idea.
I'm not aware if he's actually at the Rose Bowl contest itself this year, but normally he goes to all the Penn State games, home and away, travels quite a bit. To see his Penn State team. And so I'll have to, in solidarity with Fred, support Penn State today.
You know, I'm going to go for Penn State too. I want to give a shout out to one of my daughter's really, really good friends, Mara Johnston. She was one of the valedictorians at Waterloo High School here in Waterloo, Illinois. And she also is attending Penn State right now. So I'm going to root Penn State as well.
Okay.
We never agree on anything. Look at us agreeing. In 2023.
Will you watch the game though, Trish? Will you dial in at four?
I will.
What time? I think
4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you
sure
know this
right
is
on
one
it.
Of those days you have to watch college football.
Yeah.
I won't mention your. Do you want to talk about your game, or are we not?
Yeah, I did have a less than satisfactory experience watching my South Carolina Gamecocks play in the Gator Bowl a couple of days ago, where they were defeated by Notre Dame in kind of very, very disappointing fashion. They tried their best. Well, let's just say they tried, and it didn't work out for my team, and sadly they lost.
They were ahead for a long time in that game, though.
Yeah, they were.
So it wasn't like it was a complete blowout, which is always
good,
right? I mean, they made it interesting.
It was a good season overall
and
exciting. We had some great wins. We beat Clemson. We beat Tennessee. So we had some good wins.
There's the Pennsylvania State University right there.
There we go.
Speak, if you're watching the parade, they are on your screen right
Fred
now.
Has told me that it is a wonderful place to go visit and see a game. I've never been to Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, home of Penn State. But
yeah, I haven't either.
It looks fun.
It does look fun. And you know what? I like their float because it's got football field. They've got their mascot there, the big, huge football. I love it. I think it's great.
All right, just we're winding down. A couple more minutes here on this special New Year's Day, day after New Year's Day live show. Anything else we want to mention? Just stuff coming up, maybe stuff we did to wrap up the year. Anything we're planning, you know, for the beginning part of 2023 that we want to at least give a nod to before we sign off for the day?
You know, a lot of things. So obviously we've got the Happy Hour Network of shows. We have our new show with Merv and Dinah new in the last couple months. We've got the new one with our Gen Z show, the Play-by-Play with Jack and Nick. Both of the new shows are doing really well, getting lots and lots of new listeners. So, and even if you've been listening for a long time, I mean, you mentioned you've been doing this for 13 years, Steve.
Yeah, something like that.
It's been a long time. I've been doing this 10 years now.
Almost 14, yeah.
I'm in a decade with you.
Wow.
Can you believe it? I was thinking about that the other day. I mean, whether it's the 13 years for you or the 10 years for me, it's like if someone had told me you're going to be on a podcast for 10 years, that I would have been like, absolutely not. It's like that's a real commitment. That's probably the most committed I've been to anything
in
my whole
life,
other than being a parent, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So anyway, but I'm really glad that you. I'm glad you created the show. I'm glad that we were able to go live today and kind of just sit down and have a fun show together. And maybe we do go back to having a live show every now and then. That was fun, and you know, get some people to call in for it and tell us what they're up to for the new year and how things are going. So
Good stuff. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting year. I know you mentioned a couple of the new shows we've got. I know George Laroque's Work Tech Show has come back, and we'll have a new one of those soon. And we've got some great shows. I'm looking forward to, Trish, we recorded this a few weeks ago, and it's coming out in a couple of weeks, but we did a really, really fun recording with a New York City tattoo artist and the owner of a New York City tattoo shop.
Yeah.
Mikhail, I forget his last name. Was it Anderson, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking at to see if I got that right. Is it Mikhail Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mikhail Anderson from, what's the tattoo shop? First Class Tattoo.
First Class Tattoo.
First Class Tattoo in New York City, Trish. And over the break, I had some downtime. I think I've discovered at least the inspiration, Trish, for the tattoo that I'm going to try
really?
To have
okay.
Our friend Mikhail do for me when I go visit him.
Okay, what is
tattoo.
The inspiration? Can you share?
It's like a, you know, it's a phoenix bird, the phoenix, you know,
rising from the ashes.
Rising, but it's,
okay.
It's got, it's going to have a couple little features I'm going to build into it or hope he'll build into it.
Will it have anything to do with the Gamecock? Because, I mean, you are.
No, not a Gamecock thing, no.
Okay.
No.
Microphone?
No.
Really?
No, none
okay.
of that.
What else do you like other than the Gamecocks and talking?
That's it, pretty much. Barbecue.
Oh, barbecue. Is it going to have a little barbecue grill on it?
I'll have a big spatula.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The phoenix bird will
so,
be clutching like
coming
a,
out of the barbecue
a spatula
grill.
In its
I love this.
Talons or
this
whatever they have.
Great.
So it's going to be cool, though. So
can
I'm
I
excited.
Help design it?
So that show's coming. Yes, absolutely. that show's coming out in a couple weeks. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and you know what? I hope people listen to that episode.
It was really good.
Without giving it too much away, but I've never really thought of, you know, a tattoo shop as a place where you would really find a great leader.
It's a workplace, yeah.
Mikhail is a great leader.
That is
like,
a really...
That was the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah, we talk about tattoos and tattoo trends
right.
and things like that, but we really talk about... Work. And
it
leading and
work.
Mentoring and coaching
yeah.
and yeah, things like that. So anyway,
and you know what? And
that's
how
exciting.
You don't necessarily, we've tried to train people for years how to be a better coach, how to be a better
yeah.
mentor, how to be a better leader. There are some people like Mikhail who just are.
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
Just is. So really inspirational.
Okay, last thing real quick. We've got a couple of minutes left. Trish, what's the one thing in 2023? Maybe it's a trip and it's an event, it's a
mm-hmm.
thing. What are you looking forward to the most?
You know, just more international travel. I won't shout out anything in particular because there's a couple trips coming up this year, but definitely just looking forward to getting back, you know, back to Europe. I wish that China were an option, but I don't think we're quite there yet.
Probably not yet.
But, yeah, I mean, definitely going global. How about you?
Yeah, I guess I'd say similarly. I want to go to at least one or two new places.
Mm-hmm.
I have this very extensive magnet collection.
Oh, that's right.
For the refrigerator kind
yeah.
of thing. And every time I go somewhere new, I always buy one. And but yet, I feel like 90% of the places we go, I've been to before. Right?
That's
it's Vegas
probably
again.
True, right.
It's Orlando again.
So you're not getting one every
San
time
Francisco
you go.
San Francisco again. No.
No.
I want to go somewhere new. Somewhere I've never been. That's my that's
Is
my
there
idea.
Any like two or three places that you were kind of like, if I could go here,
yes,
both
I'll give you,
either
I'll
personally
give you just,
or professionally, where
one,
would you go?
One. Wolfsburg, Germany.
Oh,
I
want to well,
go
yeah,
see my team,
see.
My German soccer team
right,
play
right.
again. That's where
okay.
I want to go, Wolfsburg.
Right. I think you should do it. I think you should just get on a plane and do it.
Okay.
You know, well, the one thing I will say, I know we're winding up, but the international travel prices, when we looked that up on USA Today the other day, when we were talking
mm-hmm.
about kind of the tourism trends for 23, it was international flight prices are going to decrease by quite a bit. So
wow.
that's sort of the thing, right? Both the U.S. to be probably similarly priced to what it is now, but the international travel will go down. So I think you should go to Germany.
I dig it. All right. That's
yeah.
my plan. All right, Trish. I think we've done a really
I think we've done
been
it.
Fun. It's been nice hanging out with you, watching some of the parade.
Yeah, you as
having
well.
A little chat, having a little coffee, et cetera, et cetera.
We have the same coffee mug.
We
do. You believe
we've
that?
Got coffee mugs that are the same. It's exciting.
We didn't even plan it.
Thank you to everybody who hung out with us some or maybe listen back to this on the replay.
That's
and
right.
listen to the shows coming up. We've got a great, great year on the network coming up. HRHappyHour.net for all the shows, H3HR.com for everything else that
That's
we're
right.
that we're up to. And, yeah, just come find us, and we look forward to a great 2023. Thanks to our friends at Paychex, of course. Go to paychex.com/AWIA for everything you need for year-end and year-begin. And that's it, Trish.
Yeah.
That's it from
Happy
the
New
Our Work in America show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We'll see you next time, and bye for now.